In the spring of 2011, I received word from Bishop Supich that I was going to be transferred from my position as rector of the seminary to come here to succeed Father Steve Dublinski as rector of the cathedral. And I began my assignment on July 1st, 2011. And for those of you who were parishioners at that time, you will remember that we also had one of the newly ordained, just newly minted priests assigned here as well, and that was Father Jeff Lewis. Over these years, several priests have been assigned to assist here at the cathedral. These would include Father Curtis Seidel, Father Rick Semple, Father Sean Thompson, Father Kyle Ratuiste, Father Paul Herrick, when he was a deacon, was assigned here to the cathedral. And I've told all of these priests individually that one day they would be assigned to their own parish as pastor, and I cautioned them not to expect what we have here at the cathedral in their first parish. I told them in some ways we're pretty spoiled here, and that what happens here at the cathedral isn't normative in other settings. Over the course of a Sunday masses, we would get roughly 1,000 people here at the cathedral. We have two retired priests in residence, one, of course, here this morning, Father Tracy, who are able to assist with the 16 masses that we have every week celebrated here at the cathedral, the two sets of confessions, the First Friday confessions. We have a large and competent staff who are passionate about fulfilling our mission as the Mother Church. We have a music program, second to none, with a large choir and professional musicians. You at the 11 o'clock Mass know that especially. We have a beautiful building in which to worship God in His glory and majesty. And we are connected with a Catholic elementary school with an enrollment that hovers around 350 students. With all of these things, I didn't want these new priests to be disappointed one day. I told them, you're going to have your own unique situation different from this. And your task is to happily accept your parish, love your people, and bloom where you are planted. Well, Father Rick Semple, one of the priests who had been here at the cathedral, is now pastor of Immaculate Conception Parish in Republic, Washington. As I said, we would have about 1,000 people come through here over the course of the Sunday for Mass. He has 75 people. He is the maintenance man. He is the secretary. He's the only priest in the entire county with a population that has nearly 25% of its people living below the poverty line. His parish is accessible by driving over Sherman Pass, which is the highest pass in Washington State, and I would bet that this morning there's a fair amount of snow covering that roadway. If you don't take the pass, you can go through Keller Ferry, the ferry boat at Keller, Washington. The problem with that, Father tells me, is that it's often not working, out of order. When you look at all that, that is a very different experience of parish life than we have here at the cathedral. And yet Father Semple has fallen in love with his people. He has integrated into their daily lives, and not just through daily Mass or Sunday Mass or the sacraments, but by joining them in cutting firewood for the winter, or hiking through the mountains, or helping to gut a deer after a successful hunt. And he is not just a priest for the Catholics in Republic. He's a priest for the entire town. He's a member of the volunteer fire department, and he is one of the drivers of the ambulance as an EMT, responding to car accidents and brush fires and heart attacks. Christ and his Catholic Church permeate that remote area of our diocese through the ministry of Father Semple. And for that, I, for one, am proud of him. Throughout the diocese, today is observed as Commitment Sunday for the annual Catholic Appeal. And as I was reflecting on the readings that we have this morning, as well as the appeal, it occurred to me that as members of the Church in Eastern Washington, we are called to be in communion. And as members of the Mother Church of the diocese, we have a unique obligation to be sensitive to the needs of the entire diocese. With all of our blessings, I know that I have to guard against, indifference is probably too strong of a word, but I have to guard against forgetting about or not having foremost in my mind the needs and the experience of the entire church in our diocese. That's touched upon through the prophet Amos in our first reading day. We've been reading Amos, and Amos is prophesying at a time when Israel had reached great prosperity. They had a high level of affluence and power. And because of that, they became somewhat complacent about the needs of others. Amos says, "Woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches. They eat lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall. Improvising to the music of the harp, like David, they devise their own accompaniment. They drink wine from bowls." Now, I love my wine, but from bowls is a little excessive. "And they anoint themselves with the best of oils." This is the first reading. We have a parallel text, as the church gives us, in the gospel. And it's the parable of the rich man's indifference, his lack of communion with Lazarus. And again, I admit at times to forgetting just how much we have in this parish, and taking it for granted and not always remembering how incredibly blessed that I am. And so my pledge to the annual Catholic Appeal, your pledge to the annual Catholic Appeal, demonstrates our interest and our communion with the work of the Church throughout the entire diocese. The annual Catholic Appeal, for example, paid for the education and the formation of a seminarian who would today be the only priest in Ferry County. A priest in whom we can be proud, a pastor who is bringing the Catholic faith to the corners of our local church. This past week, the director of our Catholic schools, Katie Rickers, drove to Colton, Washington, to visit the K-6 school there, Guardian Angel St. Boniface. She met with the pastor and the principal. She reviewed goals for the school and interacted with the students. As I mentioned, Cataldos, our school, hovers at around 350 students. Guardian Angel St. Boniface has 13. And it can sometimes be a lonely endeavor to be in a rural Catholic school. And so the annual Catholic Appeal funds our diocesan Catholic school office and a director who is able to keep the bonds of communion strong, even in the remote wheat fields of the diocese. I myself have pledged $1,000 to the annual Catholic Appeal. I can't afford to lay it all out right now, and so I'm structuring my payments over several months. I'm also using my credit card so I get some airline miles, get something out of it. If you have your pledge with you today, please place it in the basket along with the regular collection. And there are additional envelopes in the pews. But make sure to write the word cathedral on there clearly so that the pledge, your pledge, we get credit for toward our parish goal. The parish goal for Immaculate Conception in Republic this year is $13,151. Our goal at the cathedral is $147,000. And later on today, Father Semple will be cooking dinner for his parish. He goes into Costco, picks up a roast, and then he'll be preparing that tonight for his parish, and it's a small parish, so they'll all be able to get together. He hosts an ACA dinner for them. And every year, Bishop Daly drives up. Bishop Daly will be driving up this afternoon to Republic to join that little parish community, to eat with them, and to thank them for their support. In the same way, I ask you as members of the Mother Church to join me in funding the mission and ministry of the Catholic Church in Eastern Washington. From the cathedral to the 13 students in Colton to the 75 Catholics at Mass in Republic, one family of faith in deep communion with Christ and His Church.